It's Coach O, baby. Coach Ed Ogeron. Go Tigers. I am Coach O, bitch. And you are listening at their anchor, the Sports Antelope Remix, Antidote Remastered, with your boy Danny Belts. And, you know, Coach O, want to say, you know, I feel bad for Miles Brennan. Yeah, the boy had a lot of chances. He sat around. You know, he waited his turn. He got hurt. He got hurt again. You know, I mean, it ain't good. But, look, LSU's going to the Johnson. And I don't mean we're going to Johnson like Nick Saban does when he goes to the rest area and all that. I meant, like, we're going to be going to Max Johnson, baby. We're going to be maxing it out with that spread offense. It's going to be good. And Coach O, I want to let you know about one thing about defending home turf, baby. Home field. You know, I got my Death Valley. That's my turf. You know, that's Coach O, bitch. That's my land, baby. I ain't letting nobody on there. I'm going to whip their ass. They come, we're going to kick their ass. You know, same thing. Them Southeastern Lions over there, Strawberry Stadium. That's kind of a fruity name. No pun intended. But, hey, I mean, that's their turf, you know. I mean, the Alex Box over here with the baseball, you know. The Bronx Bombers be playing up there at Yankee Stadium, you know. I mean, you got to defend your turf, baby. That's your home field. I mean, them Saints good with that dome. You know, they protecting that dome. Everything good, baby. Protect your home. Because I am Coach O, baby. Go Tigers.
Welcome to the Sports Antelope, episode number 60. I'm your host, Danny Belts, titled, We Must Protect This House. We're talking about de Blasio and Cuomo and the disaster that is collectively New York and the difference between having an R and a D behind your name. Speaking of D, the Lakers are going to get the D. What are they thinking? Are they drunk? We'll be talking about that. Boston's mayor, she's woke, but she said something pretty smart. Ron Rivera continues to not say things that are smart. Next week, Dickie Salvo comes on to bless us with the NFL futures. The NFL actually begins tonight. Those Steelers, we're going to need them. We're going to be comparing protecting the house on home field, whether that be your home field you played on in high school, college, what have you, to the home field you have to defend as a salesperson when a lion comes to pasture looking to eat one of your sheep. Happens all the time. We all do it. I do it. I've victimized people. I've been victimized in the sales world. I have an interesting take on that. Tommy Bench is out today. Bro Exotic may be on. A quick episode for the Antidotians out there, the Antidote faithful. Be sure and rate, subscribe, and review. Give us 5 stars. Reach out and touch a brother. Tell somebody about the Sports Antidote. Follow us at Instagram at the Sports Antidote, at the Sports Antidote, or follow me at Danny_Belts with a Z. Be sure and tell somebody too, man. Reach out, touch a brother. I know I said that, but I'm saying it again. We're getting close to football season. This is when the show gets to its peak. College and pro football, we're all over it. We're gambling. We're talking trash. We're doing all the things we typically do on this show. Just ramp it up a little bit. So let's just get this thing cracking here. So if you didn't know, de Blasio and Cuomo hate each other. They can't stand each other. The mayor of New York and the governor of New York really, really don't like each other. And then de Blasio is now asking for Cuomo's resignation. So they say 11 women, it's more like 52, but who's counting, have accused him of sexual misconduct, one sexual assault, sexual harassment. There's all kind of things. He's certainly guilty. It's ridiculous. Look what they did to Kavanaugh. They brought up some lady from a frat party 50 years ago, and she even admitted she was lying. They did everything they could to get that dude not in the Supreme Court. And here we go. The sitting governor in New York has a room full of women saying that he did bad things with his hands and mouth, and still, he still sits there, basically unmolested. There he is. No pun. He's there. Nothing's happening. Is he going to have to step down? I don't think so. I think this will just move over. Clearly, the Me Too movement is completely dead now that people with D's behind their names are involved in this. Amazing how that works, though, isn't it? It really is. When you have a D behind your name, what you can get away with, it is fascinating. Cuomo should absolutely resign. I hope he gets nailed in civil court. And if anyone does sue the state of New York or him, he should be forced to resign immediately upon that happening. Speaking of governors, Gavin Newsom in a shock poll right now is behind almost double digits in the recall. Of course, magically, we're going to have a mail-in recall for California. So, isn't that quite convenient? I'm sure Coach O is rolling his eyes right now, but I'm sorry. I just speak the truth. And it is convenient to have a mail-in recall for California right now. Isn't that great? Oh, my goodness. The Lakers have lost their mind. I have an idea. Let's put Russell Westbrook on the same team as LeBron James. And then we'll sprinkle in a little bit of Carmelo Anthony. I mean, what are they going to get next? They're trying to forge some fake all-star team. This reminds me of kind of like the Lakers when they got Malone and Gary Payton and everyone thought, you know, they ended up losing to the Pistons in five, should have got swept. Point is that it's just, you know, this is insane what's happening right now. They're going to be so much fun to bet against next year. I'll be taking their season total under blind. As you know, AD is going to get hurt again. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be bitching. There's going to be zero camaraderie in that locker room. Within the first month, you can look for the wheels to start to fall off the bus. And speaking of wheels, not all the wheels are rolling in Ron Rivera's head right now. The head coach of the Washington Redskins, he is openly getting more and more mouthy about his players not being 100% vaccinated. Well, I'm sorry, Ron. Boo-kin' who? Maybe they don't want to. Maybe they have the antibodies. Maybe they don't want anyone to know their health records, etc. Like I said last week, it's just like walking up to a chick and going, have you been vaccinated for HPV? That would be intrusive. But you asking me if I've been vaccinated for COVID is like asking someone, oh, you know, do you have AIDS? Like, come on, man. You can't, I mean, oh, come on, man. It's just ridiculous. This whole thing is insane. So people might not get vaccinated. And the people that have got vaccinated are still passing it on to other people like Lamar Jackson, etc. If Lamar Jackson can get vaccinated and get COVID, anyone can. So really, what's the point? What is the point? There is none, of course. Look forward to having Dickie Salvo on next week, NFL Futures. That's going to be pretty high. I have a couple I like. We'll be talking about the Saints and the Panthers. Interested to see what he's going to be talking about. But let's get right into home field. So home field happens everywhere. Protecting this house happens in the animal kingdom. I'm watching Wildlife Discovery recently. These freaking meerkats, man, they're awesome, right? Leandro Barbosa, the meerkat. These meerkats, they communicate through all kinds of different ways, noises, symbols, scratches, all kinds of stuff, to alert them that their ultimate nemesis, the cobra, is on its way looking to pound. When the cobra comes to their house, they stand up in front that door, very similar to the Trojan army outside the walls of Troy. They're just standing there like, what? And the cobra is like, all right, these dudes are going to bite the piss out of me. And I'm pretty sure that they're immune to my venom. But I'm hungry. I'm trying to eat these eggs. Or not eggs, they're mammals. I'm trying to eat these younglings. And he thought about it. Snakes aren't too smart. They're not smart at all, like most reptiles. And they're standing there like, come on, son, what? And the cobra decides, I'll just go over here and make a quick loosey. And he goes down the road looking for an easier meal. The meerkat stood their ground, protected their families, and protected their house. When the Muslims, came to Greece to basically basically imprison the Greeks, Xerxes and his crew came rolling in like hundreds of thousands deep. You remember the movie? But at the hot gates, 300 of these dudes defended their home because the waves of Muslims, that's right, not Persians, kept coming in, and the Greeks would smash them wave after wave after wave because their numbers counted for nothing as they had to fight within the confines of what was called the hot gates. And it had not been for that deformed-looking dude, Nephialthes, or whatever the hell his name is. They told him the back way to get in there. They would have continued to pile bodies on top of bodies on top of bodies as the Greeks and Leonidas protected that house and their city. We've all played sports. You know, there's home field advantage. We're going to talk about this a lot. Home field advantage is so important when you're going, when you're playing, whether that be high school or college or whatnot. It's not just important. It's a mental thing. This is where you bleed, you sweat on this field, on this court. You practice, you work your ass off to beat the team that has showed up on that school bus walking on your field right now. It's like here they come. They're coming to beat you at your house. It's so important from a mental standpoint. You're able to fend these teams off. From a gambling standpoint, there is so much value that is overlooked with teams that are thought to be of lesser value, but they are so good against the spread at home. They might not win all the time, but they really play well at home. And these are things we're going to be focusing on this year. The value in the teams that aren't supposed to be, quote, air quotes, that good, but yet at home they give people all they want. Georgia Tech is a good example of this. Washington State is a good example of that. So is Oregon State. They are tough at home. No matter who they play in conference, they're going to give you a game. North Carolina State is notorious for being tough at home. Now, they may not have the best record outright, but you look at the ATS record and it just goes, why? What is it about home? Is it the crowd? I don't know. These guys, when people come, they circle the wagons and can defend their house. Now, of course, there's the obvious ones. LSU, as Coach O just said, Death Valley. Clemson has a big one on Howard the Duck Rock, whatever the hell those goofy assholes are. Alabama and Auburn share pretty heavy home field advantages. Texas A&M, obviously. You know, these are the ones that the teams that you expect to be good at home, but there's a lot of teams that aren't, and there's just something in the water where they play extremely tough. Texas San Antonio, a team we'll be talking about soon, the Roadrunners. They are a tough damn out at home. You catch them on the road, but at home, for some reason, I feel like they could stand up to anyone. They're just a rough bunch of dudes, and we'll be getting into that. Texas, San Antonio, the Roadrunners, for a future play coming up here, as I like them a lot coming in this year. They remind me of ULL or Louisiana Light as far as the way that they are constructed. But as far as protecting your house, what about when someone comes after the Holy of Holies? What's most important to you besides your family, maybe God, your house? These are very important things, your best friends, maybe your neighbor, or what have you. But money has to be up there somewhere. People say money like doesn't bring happiness. Bullshit. All the rich people I know look real motherfucking happy. They look real happy on Instagram, vacationing around the world and doing whatever they want, whenever they want. And their nice cars and big houses, they look really happy. So I'm pretty sure money does bring happiness. Depends on what you do with it or what have you. But I will tell you that when it comes to your job, if you're in sales, that's basically your life nearly. Like, sales is my life. I mean, I'm doing it constantly. Even on weekends when I meet someone, ask what they do. Oh, I'm in this, that, and the other. You got a card on you, man? Yeah. Like, I'm trying to get, yeah. I've set up meetings on weekends all the time. Meet somebody at a cocktail party, meet someone at the game at night, at some kegger, at a crawfish boil, what have you. I'm always trying to find who's who and what's what. And that's selling, perusing around LinkedIn late at night, looking for prospects, getting everything ready. You're still technically in the selling process there. You never turn it off. It never stops. It's not like a restaurant where you can clock out at the end of the night and you can leave all your problems and issues right there. No, it's not like that at all. You take them with you to your house, to your bed, over the weekend, to church. It just doesn't matter. It never stops. But in sales, protecting your house is so important. There are so many different aspects of sales we've talked about. You could be an inside sales, outside sales. Account manager, key account manager, you could be regional manager, you could be blah, 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 it doesn't matter. But if you are a true outside salesperson, a hunter that basically goes, and in my position now, I don't do this as much because I have help on the inside to make sure this does not happen. But let's back up in medical sales. I did not have this help. So when I was in medical sales, there was an inside sales team, but they were always busy prospecting. After we won an account, we would work it, and then we'd get all their business. I'd show up every now and again, but I was too busy trying to get new business. That's where you made your money from. And you still made money off residuals, but you got way more money for cracking open a new account and getting a big fat order in the beginning of the process. So if you don't pay attention to your meerkat hole or to the hot gates, the snakes, will get in there, and the Muzzies, the Persians, will wreck your city. You have to be protecting your house at all times. Well, some flus, some chick who was smoking hot, worked for a certain company who had the pharmaceutical model. If you didn't know what that model is, you hire smart and extremely attractive women. These women go into biomedical engineer shops and hospitals and or clinical engineering with their skirt, their high heels, their fake tan, tits hanging out, and all of a sudden that becomes an incredibly difficult weapon to battle, even if your company is superior to them and even if your abilities are superior to her. Don't think I'm being sexist here when I say that. Most of these women that are good looking in sales are sharp as a tack. It's a very dangerous combination and everyone knows it. Even the customer who can't help but give them their business. So it just so happens, a long, long time ago, Texas Children's Hospital, one of the most renowned and sought after children's hospitals in the world, was an account of mine that I won. I kicked this company out. So she did not protect her house. So I came a-knocking and got her out. Well, I had to defend this house because she came back. And the first thing you're going to want to do, even when you know this is happening, what the novice or the salesperson that doesn't understand things, what you'll instinctively want to do is not this. Do not go to the decision maker and start negative selling. Do not bash the other company. It looks very, very bad. And don't speak about them in name. Don't mention them at all at any capacity. Just you need to find now how to bring back the spice in the marriage. How are we going to do this? Get the love life back on. Bring in the value. You got to construct a presentation. Get them out of there. You know they're coming in there. They're knocking on the door for whatever reason. It's neither here nor there. So you need to protect your house now. You need to get all this data and information to reaffirm why they are with you. If you don't do this, it will slip away. It's like every now and again, you got to go out with the wife and get a babysitter. It's a good thing, right? You get out, have a nice dinner, get some drinks, talk, catch up. These are important things. But when you don't do that, see, things start to pile up. People are knocking on the door, and in this instance, trying to cuck me, literally. So in the medical aspect of things, that was one. But there's one I want to talk about now as we're going to get into defending your home court. When I was at a previous industry, there was a contract. The first time I've ever had to really deal with contracts. Contract ends, in this case, after 3 years. So in the third year, you were able to, you know, shop around again. If you broke the contract, there was a big financial burden there. So no one really broke the contract. And what we did was irrelevant. But it was involved in commercial kitchens in restaurants or hotels. It did not matter. You get a commercial kitchen, whether it be the Superdome or a freaking fryer at a convenience store, crispy, crunchy chicken or whatnot, I could get in there and win the business. So short story long, I sold a place that had about 20 locations. I sold it directly to the owner, top down. He mandated this across the board, biggest sale of my life. A lot of money came out of that. And after about the second year, I only got paid on new business, but I definitely wanted to see. I didn't want to lose the business, though. That's not good. Our depot, our bonuses were based off of net. So at the same time, I mean, you wanted your local depot to be doing well because it affected you kind of indirectly. But even though you weren't getting paid directly on that, you didn't want to lose your customer. Long story short, right? So I found out through one of the chefs that a very, very dangerous company was knocking on the door. And they knew this contract was coming up. And they planted a lot of seeds of doubt in the owner's head, whether or not he was going to re-sign. Now, homie, don't play that. You walk into my house, you come into my fridge, take my, what, you just make breakfast while you're staring at me? I don't think so. I don't play that, chief. So here's what I did. Instead of going directly to the owner, I didn't want him to know that I knew, because the guy that told me in confidence. Now, you have to reconstruct this, right? Let's just peel back the onion. How would the owner... Why would he be shopping us around? I'll tell you why. Because there were some sites that were probably disgruntled with our service, and they went to the owner. And or they talked to that salesperson trying to get in my front door, and that sparked the fire for that guy to either put to use that manager as a surrogate to get to the owner, or he got information and went to the owner directly. I don't know. But I do know there were some sites that were disgruntled. So what do? First things first, I'm going to every freaking site. But how do you do that? You have to be really crafty. You don't want the owner wondering what you're doing. You don't want him to know this is happening, because you're going to have to get in front of him and reaffirm why he's with us. Why you put pen to paper in the first place, homie? Why did you do that? I mean, obviously the spice in the relationship is lost. We're only having sex a couple times a year now, right? Is that what's going on, pal? You know what I mean when I say that? But we need to get back, like re-honeymoons. How do you do that? I'll tell you how. You need to construct a presentation. But here's how you got to get his attention. You got to be sneaky. So we're coming up on the third year. It was like the second and a half year in. And I called him and said, hey, we'll call him Mr. Mike. Hey, Mr. Mike, we're coming up on, you know, our three-year anniversary. I wanted to get you in the next month. Did you have 30, 40 minutes to sit down so I can show you all the data we've collected, all the cost savings, all the operational efficiencies, the increase in operational efficiencies, all your cutback on emissions, all these things? I'll make a pretty clear-cut business case, and I'll go over it with you. I'm not bringing a contract with me. We'll talk about that when we cross that bridge and we get to the water, but it's important that we review this. I completely made that up. We never really did this. We probably should be doing it, but of course he says, yeah, absolutely. And I said, be sure and bring anybody else in the room that may be there, whether that be regional managers, the CEO, the CFO, whomever else that may be. He said, no problem. I'll have my troops in the room. Great. Now the fun begins. You have to go to all these sites and you are going to start digging. I went to every single site. I found out exactly what was happening. Now, to run you through what was happening, I'd be running you down just a runway of sorrow, because you'd be like, all right, you're losing me. I don't care. Let's just say that what we weren't doing was fixable, but the other company specialized in exactly what we kind of were lacking in. So he was totally doing the right thing. He was exploiting a weakness. Good for him. But his one big weakness is he spoke to too many people and couldn't keep his mouth shut, because now his weakness now is me, because I'm a force to reckon with, especially when you're knocking on my door, chief. So I collected all this data, got everything together. And then when the time came, we all sat down, and it kind of sounded like this. You know, when this process began, and I identified the company that was trying to steal, getting my flock, trying to steal my sheep, I went on LinkedIn, found him, looked at his face for a good 5-10 minutes, and said, this is the guy. This is the guy that's trying to take food off my table. This is the guy that's trying to take money out of my daughter's college fund. This is the guy that's trying to take money out of my vacation slush fund and or my degenerate gambling slush fund. And I ain't having that. You ain't cucking me, pal. It ain't happening. So, they say don't take things personally? Incorrect. You should take that very personally. As a matter of fact, super personally. If you don't, you're going to get cucked, and you don't want to get cucked. So what happens here? Went to all the sites, put together this presentation that was next to none. And in the beginning, it was a soft little intro. Oh, don't worry about me. I'm just Danny Belt. Soft intro. Here's what we're doing. Here's what we're done. Now, if you do this correctly, right around the middle of the meeting, he'll start to see, you sly little bastard, I see what you did. You knew somebody was knocking on that door. And you're trying to protect this house now, ain't you? Well, good for you. So there's ways to do this, ways not to do this. You need to have different gears. So you start off slow. You know, you don't want to get in there too quick. Kind of like foreplay. You want to go ahead and you don't need to rush to the thing, because you have things in the back middle of that slide that are going to slap the white off their face, because they think this is just a little regrouping. And you know someone's in there, but they don't know that you know. So putting this together strategically takes time, but it can be done. So right towards the middle of the presentation is when I transitioned kind of away from, oh, this is just a hold your hands meeting, to this is full-blown assault. Because I was able to show them two things. One, okay, we're still saving you a lot of money. Money isn't everything. And the other thing, yes, operationally, we're still very, very efficient. Notice that I have not addressed the issue yet. We keep going over. Then I show a slide of this company in a different region. Ha ha, now he knows completely what I'm doing. This sheet-eating, shit-eating grin, he's looking at me like, you gotta be kidding me. They're all smiling, because they know this was an ambush. Ha ha ha, and they also know this presentation took a lot of time. They appreciate that. So I show in the Pacific Northwest the same company and how we smashed them out there and how they're trying to do the same thing here. I didn't want to make it too obvious. And then I showed another company, the same one, out in the Northeast. Showed them what's going on over there instead of talking about here. But they know that I know that they're on my door. And that's why I'm sitting at their door telling them, going through this presentation. On the very transitioning slide, I addressed the exact same thing. The thing that they were shopping us around for, the very fact, and how we were gonna fix it, and when we were gonna fix it today. As a matter of fact, we're fixing it right now. Here's how we're gonna do it. Showing the value and why they stepped to the altar and said, I do, when they signed that contract on one of the biggest deals of my life. And it was amazing to retain the business. You might think it's over right there. Nay. You need to go find that salesperson. This is exactly what you do. Find that salesperson when they're walking out of Starbucks. You want to walk right by him and say this. Keep walking, but say it just like this. Say this. Not on my watch, chief. That's how you do it. You tell them just like that as you walk to your car and let them know that they came knocking on your door and they got sent packing because no one comes into your house and takes your customers. No one cucks me. You ain't cucking me. My neighbor ain't cucking me. The bookie ain't. Nobody is. And because of that, I will do this every single time. Take it personally when a salesperson comes knocking on your door to take your accounts. Because if you don't, he's going to take your account. And then it's going to be personally on you because it'd be your fault. So take the initiative. Step up and protect this house. Cuomo, you have to go. Now, you are already have been white bitch of the week, but I have not invited you to the awards ceremony at the end of the year, and I am now inviting Andrew Cuomo to join the other 10 candidates for white bitch of the year. What an honor, a distinct privilege. Mid-December when we have that at the awards ceremony, it's going to be great. So many women have said they've been touched, abused with his mouth and or his hands. Creepy old man, not even married, weird. How many governors or politicians don't have a family? It's really weird, isn't it? He looks like a creep. He's a venomous snake. And now, how fitting that he gets to taste and feel the venom of the woke, crazy left culture that he is so ingrained with that is now, you can't get away from this one, Andy. No. It's time to pay the piper. You are white bitch of the week and have formerly been nominated for white bitch of the year. Thanks for joining the Sports Antidote episode number 60. We must protect this house. I got a little amped up there with the Milo music with my little sales story, right? I don't know how that sounded, but hopefully it sounded okay. We're going with it. I'm going with it, baby. I don't care. Be sure and tune in next week. We're going to get closer. We're getting closer to football. It begins tonight. Enjoy the game. Thanks to Coach O for jumping on. We'll have Tommy Bench back on next week with Bro Exotic. Dickie Salvo added to the lineup. Keep it real, Antidotians. I'm outspoken. My language is broken into a slang, but it's just the dialect that I select when I hang up.